Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Jeff Lagerman.
All right, glad you're along with us. Tuesdays brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Jaguars Today kicking off. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Lagerman, Fat Tony here with you. Jags now 1-1 in the preseason with a trip with the Detroit Lions, taking a trip, I should say, to Jacksonville on Friday night. 8 o'clock affair.
Great
here
test
in preseason. Very good offense.
Yeah, but you know what? To me, this is the game of the preseason. Yesterday, watched Detroit in both games that they played, and that is a really good football team. I mean,
they got after Washington's O-line, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's, to me, I mean, we're all this, you know, great talk about the Jaguars' improvement offensively. If you're going to show it, this is the week. Detroit, even though they don't have Ndamukong Suh, it is one of the top defenses in the league a year ago. They're playing like it now in the preseason. Great test. I mean, great test, especially in preseason game number 3.
Yeah, you got it all. I mean, you've got big-time receivers to test this secondary, which is, you know, giving up a couple of big plays and also some looked like some not exactly tight coverage against Odell Beckham Jr. that Eli Manning couldn't exploit. You can't keep giving those kind of opportunities to NFL quarterbacks, so eventually somebody's going to tear you apart.
Yeah, I made the comment in the game that Eli Manning was playing like his alter ego commercial self.
Yes, bad comedian. It was a bad joke for Giant
fans.
Yeah,
he was not good, and he definitely had some openings. You know, the coverage was okay, but if that's Peyton Manning, you know, I'm talking Peyton Manning on the money, that does not look real good for the Jaguars in the first part of the
right
game.
And big
if it
part
was
of that.
Roethlisberger last week, you saw
right
what that looked like.
That's right.
And big part of that is what we've been talking about with Jeff Prosser a moment ago, you know, lack of a pass rush.
That's part of it. But, you know, the Giants, you know, ever since they changed offensive systems and went, well, I think it's Ben McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, that ball is out, you know, 2.8, 2.75, somewhere right in that. Typically as a pass rusher, you want to be able to get there within 3.0. I mean, and that's considered fast. So if the ball's out before then,
not a whole lot
you can do. But at the same time, you're still looking and watching the film and saying, okay, is somebody getting free at 3.0 when the ball is just being released?
Right.
And you really weren't seeing a lot of that in the game. So that was a little bit discouraging. But, you know, you also don't know the mindset of the defensive line. Are they saying, you know, coaching them up, saying, hey, look, this week we're not going to be able to get sacks. This week we want to push the pocket and then get our hands up. You know, so you don't know what the game plan was. You know, and I know that there's not a lot of game plans in the preseason, but there's also an awareness factor when you're playing in the preseason.
Well, Gus even said that, I think it was on Sunday, that part of it was we knew they got rid of it quickly. We're trying to get these guys to get their hands up, and they had at least 4 batted passes that I recognize or I counted during the game the other day. So we'll go through the good, the bad on both sides of the football. We got the center position settled right now. Get your thoughts on Wisniewski as compared to Bowanko and how those guys have played throughout the preseason. Both sides of the football, we'll look at it. Folks want to get on board. 641-1010 is the way to do it. Jeff Logman's here. We're going to also hear some of the comments from Gus Bradley yesterday, another day removed from the Giants and now starting to look ahead to the Detroit Lions coming up on Friday night. The final real test of the preseason, except for the guys at the end of the roster trying to make this team, certainly. 641-1010, the number today. We're asking you now that most positions are settled as far as who will start the season as the opening day starters, with Wisniewski getting the nod over Bowanko. We ask you, who's the most valuable backup on each side of the football, offense and defense? And I'm going to say, Tony, that it was Jeff who made me give the clarifier other than quarterback, because I've already been questioned about my definition of valuable. Have they suggested no one was going to go with Chad Henne? But I think the idea being the quarterback position is so valuable.
Yeah, it's always the most valuable. So, I mean, you got to get away from that.
So we eliminated that for the flood of Chad Henne is the most valuable player on this bench tweets that we were sure to get. And tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Logs56, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. And I didn't mention yesterday, although we did give away a T-shirt to one of our Facebook posters.
Oh, yeah, that starts this week,
right? We're starting it back up. We got some T-shirts in the fold, some Jaguars Today T-shirts. So we'll pick a tweet or a Facebook response response to the question of the day and give somebody a Jaguars Today shirt at the end of the broadcast.
So be
today.
Thoughtful or beg, one or the other. Suck up a little bit.
And everybody begs, and not many people are thoughtful, so that might make you stand out a little bit more, right? Creative, clever, however you want to look at it. Just catch our eye with that. We will get into it with Jeff coming up here. Again, Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. We'll hear from Gus Bradley. Take your calls, and of course, take your text at 641-1010 on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We'll get to the Jags. Coming up straight ahead, it's Jaguars Today live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I think the experience of games played helps. I don't know. It was just what we saw on tape and in practice. I think we just felt like Wiz had the edge. And it was very good close competition. But, you know, we felt like, like we said, we wanted to try. We weren't going to push it to make it happen. But if we felt strong about it, then we were going to proceed with it. And that's what we did.
That's Gus Bradley asked if Stefan Wisniewski's familiarity with making the calls in this Greg Olsen offensive system factored into the decision. He said, look, it basically, sure, that's a factor, but it came down to we watched the tape. We like what we saw. Logs, you think this is in some way indicative, without putting words in your mouth, but based on what you said to me off the air, that this team needs to win now, and maybe just having a guy with 4 years of veteran starting experience is the more stable choice. Luke Bowenko, you've touted his upside throughout the offseason. Certainly, do you think they made the right decision for this football team right now?
I would have been fine with it either way. I think both of them had very good camps. They both improved. Very even, just two different styles of play. Bowenko a little more athletic, Wisniewski a little bit more physical. I thought Bowenko played a little bit better in the Pittsburgh game. I thought that Wisniewski played a little bit better in the Giants game. You know, so it's a toss-up. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, as a coaching staff, you know, and if you're Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, you got three wins in year one, you got four wins in year one, three wins in year two, you know, it's time to win. You know, you need to start having some W's. And so a comfort level, I think, exists with a guy who's been doing it for a number of years, who has been in the system, who has been durable, and then also the positional flexibility of Bowenko. And so I get it. I think if this is year one or if this is year two in the Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell era, I think that they would have made the decision the other way. So I think that was a big factor in the decision-making process. Now, they also made mention, and I wanted to comment on this, they made mention of getting rep for Bowenko at tackle. He's not a tackle. You know, I think that that's more of, hey, let's just go ahead and see how it looks, you know, and on game day, if we ever had, because, you know, on game day you're going on in with seven guys active. If you had a catastrophe and he had to play, at least you can say, at least he's had some reps and we can feel okay about him getting some snaps at tackle. And then also the big injury to Josh Wells. Our question of the day, okay,
valuable backup
that you just gave out, I think you could make a serious case that Josh Wells is the most valuable backup. Josh Wells has had an excellent camp, had multiple dislocations, I guess, or dislocated his thumb a couple different times in the course of that game in New York. You know, so, but he is a guy that has gotten significantly better. He played right tackle, left tackle at James Madison. To me, that's a big injury from this past weekend's game. The rest of them, you know, okay, they're going to be fine. You know, Leroy Reynolds has got a knee. He'll be fine eventually. McCray's got a contusion of his knee. Okay, fine. He'll be okay in a couple weeks. But an offensive lineman with a dislocated thumb, and he's a swing tackle, that's serious concern.
You look at the decision at the center position, and some of it, as you said, goes with the experience and the comfort level. Will that factor in with Zane Beatles as well? Do you think that's going to be the direction they go?
I think so.
Right?
I really do. I really think so. You know, first of all, give Zane credit. You know, in training camp, before they played the first game, I said right here, I said, you know, probably go ahead and make the switch. You know, let AJ can go in there. And then in preseason game number one, AJ Can looked like he was hesitant and not quite sure in a lot of cases. Typical rookie stuff. Now game two, you still had a little bit of that. And then on top of that, Zane played very well. I mean, both games he's played very well at left guard. I don't want to say he's played great, but he's played well. So, that's again, you know, looking at the factor of, okay, look, three wins and four wins over the last 2 years, you know, it's time to win now. here's a guy that has played well in the past, has played at a Pro Bowl level. Let's go ahead and win now.
You talk about Bowenko and the idea for the team. He can back up all three interior line spots and maybe work him a little bit at tackle. Who are the five best offensive linemen on this team right now? Would Bowenko be considered potentially as one of the five best linemen, regardless of position on this team?
Great question. Because, you know, you really can't evaluate, okay, five best offensive linemen. You can't because, I mean, you have to look at the skill set of each guy at every different position. You know, so, no. I mean, I think the top, you know, the top guys right now, Leonard Parnell, if I had to go three, I'd still say Luke Jokel just because he's playing a premium position, and I think he's gotten better. I thought he played better this past week. I still think he's got a lot of upside. And then probably Bowenko would be in a conversation, but I don't know if you'd put him in the top five. You know, not right now. I think he's right there, though.
Do you think he could push? I mean, I know he's been competing at that center spot.
Could
all
he compete
camp.
Somewhere else?
Could he compete for, say, a left guard position?
No, I think Bowenko's a center. I really think that he's a center. You know, the biggest drawback, and I think the factor that was, you know, seriously considered in this decision-making process was how physical that Wisniewski can be when he has to be in a power position. And Bowenko, that's not his strong suit. Bowenko's strong suit is getting up to the second level, pulling. I mean, very few centers have ever pulled. In fact, I don't think the NFL ever had a center pull prior to Dermoni Dawson, I think it was, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who would snap and pull. Well, Bowenko can do that, and there's not a lot of guys that can do that. But as far as the power at the point of attack, that's not his strong suit. His strong suit is athletic, levels, and then body positioning. So I don't know if I would say that he's going to compete for a guard spot. Now, if all of a sudden the performance lacks somewhere, and I don't expect it to happen with Linder, could it happen with Zane Beatles? Maybe. If it does, then, you know, either Bowenko or A.J. Can, depending on where he is going to be in the equation. And I'm going to go back to this guy again. You know, during that game, you had an injury, and that was Josh Wells. And so what that had forced you to do was to take one of the right tackles and play him at left tackle in the second part of that game. So Sam Young, left tackle, Pazdor played right tackle. Now you had a vacancy at right guard for that second group. What was their first thing that they did? Who do they put in there?
Your boy Tyler.
Tyler Shatley. And Tyler Shatley played pretty well. You know, so you gotta keep him in the conversation. Tyler Shatley's gonna be on this football team. He's a good football player.
Wagman will keep him in the conversation, Tony. He's this guy. That's all right.
Incredibly strong. And that's what I love about Tyler Shatley. And I was talking to Bowenko before the game in New York. And I said, hey, look, you know, from watching you guys play, I said, I really like to watch Shatley's power. And I said, what is he like in the weight room? And Luke said, hands down, strongest guy we got. You know, and I'm not saying that, look, just because a guy can bench press, you know, whatever he does, is a good football player. But he has functional playing strength, and he's incredibly strong. He has the ability to arch his back and then hold the point. He played pretty well at guard. And now you're talking about a guy who I don't think has had a snap at guard all camp, and goes in a game and says,
did okay.
Did good.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good. So in the future, the conversation is going to get really interesting because Tyler Shatley is going to be in the mix.
He's a Logaman guy for sure. No question about it. It is a Tuesday brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates.
I got a lot of guys now.
DivorceMenOnly.com. We hope Tony and I are two of your guys anyway, at least on the radio side of things. We'll get to the phones here momentarily. 641-1010. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Who's the most valuable backup on each side of the football, offense and defense, for this Jaguar team? Let's start the day off with Eric on the phone lines. Eric, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, I thought that on the offensive side of the ball, you got to go with Chad Henne as being the most valuable backup. Because if Blake Bortles gets injured, who do you got?
You got to listen to the question. We said that you can't pick Chad Henne
Than quarterback, because a lot of people would just say quarterback. Who would you say on offense it would be?
Other than quarterback, well, I guess the backup for Yeldon, whoever that is.
Okay.
Got another question for you. Why didn't we get Reggie Wayne? Why did New England snatch him? But we need help at receiver as well.
Because Reggie Wayne has played umpteen years and wants to go out on a contender. Yeah. I mean, there've been a lot of teams with openings at wide receiver. The only ones he's been even loosely connected to were New England and Green Bay.
Well, and I think there's one other factor in that. I mean, you've got a lot of familiarity with Reggie Wayne in this building. You know, you have Dave Caldwell, who was in Indianapolis. You also have Chris Polian, who was the general manager in Indianapolis. You know, Reggie Wayne last year had an arm injury that required surgery. He had a knee injury that required surgery. I understand where this team is at. You know, you're trying to build. And when you're trying to build, you want somebody who's not going to be here for a year. You're trying to find somebody who's going to be here for 3 years or 4 years or more. And so I get why maybe there wasn't, you know, noted interest from this football team in Reggie Wayne. And maybe they know more than we do. I mean,
true, but as you also say, you know, look, Wisniewski's here on a one-year deal, and you got to win some games, right? So,
but Wisniewski, look at his years in the league. You know,
he's only played 4 years. He's still a relatively young guy.
Yeah,
I
understand. If he plays well, the ability to extend him is there with Reggie Wayne.
Let's put it this way: do they need to add a wide receiver?
I would love for them to add a wide receiver. In fact, one of the guys that I liked in the offseason that I thought that they would look at was James Jones, who we saw this past weekend against the Giants, who played incredibly well. You know, proven veteran guy in that unit would help immensely. But they're committed to developing these young guys. I also understand that. But I think if you have a calming presence in there, a guy who's been there and done that, I think it helps every group.
And I understand Aureli Spence on an old guy, but he is a guy with a sketchy injury history, and he came in. It looked like he had carved out a place for himself in the wide receiver corps.
Maybe. I think that was a little premature. You know, a lot of people on the Aureli's Ben train. I thought he was okay. I don't think that he didn't stand out and say he's clearly the guy.
Well, all right. You certainly got Allen Robinson, and regardless of injury, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, Rashad Green are your four guys, right? Was there somebody else that you thought had a leg up on Ben? Because they're going to keep at least five, right?
Well, I think two guys also you could consider in that conversation. One is Brian Walters. You know, Brian Walters.
Prior to this week, would we have considered him that much? I mean, because we hadn't seen much.
I did, just because, you know, watching him in training camp, I thought that he's been incredibly consistent. He's shown that he's been durable, although he missed most of the offseason stuff with an injury. But I thought that he was making a case for himself. Tony Washington has been making a case for himself.
How bad does that drop hurt him when you have a drop in a game
help.
Like that, when you don't have that many opportunities?
It doesn't
right?
help. I mean, that's, you know, when you're given the opportunity, you got to make the play, you know. But, you know, the other thing, too, to take into consideration, you're not just talking about guys that are here. I mean, you have to look at every team in the league who's going to become available.
Sure.
You know, so I don't think that this conversation is over yet by any stretch of the imagination.
That'll be a position that they'll look carefully at as
cuts
start coming down.
I think so, because, you know, where they're looking at is basically the fifth wide receiver spot.
Yeah.
And then when you're looking at a fifth wide receiver spot, you have to have ability to play special teams, and you also have to be sufficiently accomplished as a wide receiver. So don't be surprised if that's something that they consider elsewhere as well.
641-1010, the phone number. Let's go back to the lines and welcome Nick onto Jaguars Today this morning. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Morning.
What's up?
I think that I'm going to cheat a little bit and say that the most valuable player for the Jaguars this year is one of those three receivers, one of those three rookies, because I'm quite certain that the Jaguars are going to be able to run the ball. Their halfback game, screens, middle of the field with the tight end, they've got all that figured out. They can control the clock. They can run the ball.
That's a big assumption to make, you know, considering last year they weren't able to do that. But, I mean, you know, I get your thinking here. I mean, we're feeling really good about the offense after two games.
But here's the problem. They get into a match with a team that can go up and down the field with them. Their defense can't stop anybody. At some point, they got to have a deep threat. For them, because as has been pointed out, the offense is the stronger part, is the stronger unit. They've got to have somebody to be able to go deep when they need it. And one of those three guys, I don't know which one it is going to have to step up. And if I was Gus Bradley, and of course I'm not, which is a good thing for Jaguar fans, I would take one of those three guys and put them on special teams. The next one that drops the ball would play special teams. And thanks for taking my call.
Here's the thing. Three rookies are not rookies anymore.
Right.
You know, you're talking about Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and Marquise Lee.
I think you just misspoke. Yes. Yeah.
Second-year guys. and, you know, whoever has a drop, you put them on special teams. Out of those three guys, I don't have any issue at all if you had to have Allen Robinson as a special teams player, if you had to have Allen Hurns as a special teams player. Marquise Lee, I don't think he'd be much of a special teams player as far as being a core four,
coverage guy
no.
and stuff like that, right? And do you want to put Marquise Lee on an additional level of injury risk when he can't stay healthy doing the offensive stuff alone?
He's got to show something. You know, we're talking 2 years now. You know, he's on scholarship. I get that. That's kind of how it is with a, you know, higher draft pick in year two, and he's been injured. But sooner or later, the scholarship runs out. You know, and you've got to start having production, and you got to start having availability. The time this year, he'll be on scholarship. Next year, that changes.
He'll be on watch. He'll be on notice.
That changes.
In rewatching the film, should Hurns have come down with that deep ball?
That was a tough play to make. I mean, it would have been a great catch by Allen Hurns, but I thought the defender, and it was kind of hard to see, but I think the defender got a hand in there. But Allen Hurns needs to step up. You know, Allen Hurns is one of those guys that doesn't have anything great. You know, he's not a great speed guy. He's not a great separation guy. He's not a great, you know, run after catch guy. But the one thing that he has to prove is consistently catching the ball and competing for the ball. And I think so far in the preseason, he's just been okay. He needs to take a step up for this football team.
Yeah, and Hurns is a guy that in his year-plus year, he gets open deep. Mm-hmm. I mean, he finds a way to get open deep in the collar.
And he's not a fast guy on the clock.
No, talking about guys that they need to be able to stretch the field, well, right now it's probably Allen Hurns, at least the guy who's done it the most for this football team right now. Marquise Lee is supposed to be that guy. He's supposed to be the guy that's taking the tops off of defenses. He just can't stay on the field.
Yeah, and hopefully in the next week we start to see some signs of activity out of him. Now, you know, you watch him in pregame warm-up, and he's running and conditioning with the guys that aren't going to play. It's a positive sign. You know, they're obviously not opening up 100 miles an hour into top gear. But he's a guy that needs to start being available for this football team to take another step.
He's Jeff Logman, along with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey, Jaguars Today. On a Tuesday, brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. We'll come back, take more of your calls at 641-1010. Check in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at that same number. And also hear a little bit from head coach Gus Bradley as he addressed the media yesterday. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Happy Tuesday. Go to school with Jeff Logman every Tuesday here on Jaguars Today. Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Jeff Logman here with you. Loggy on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Got a few coming in this morning, and let me get to one we were discussing off the air a moment ago. Hate to be a downer on a Tuesday, but I'm starting to think the Jags will only win five games. Please tell me something that will give me hope that this will not happen, hashtag Jaguars Today. Where's your hope coming from?
Open your eyes and look at the play of the quarterback.
It's that simple, huh?
Yeah. I mean, Blake Bortles has made huge strides from year one to year two. Last night on Jaguars All Access, I showed a couple plays of where his eyes never tracked a guy in the route. And it was just, it was as if he was holding safeties, knowing what was going to happen. And then at the last second, turning and delivering a very concise, tight throwing motion throw, accurate throw to the wide receiver. I mean, if there's nothing else, I mean, ignore everything else. I mean, the quarterback is such a premium position at this level. If you have good quarterback play, you got a chance. And Blake Bortles right now is clearly showing that he is so much better than last year that if you don't believe that they can win more than five games, I don't know what to tell you besides open your eyes.
If you go back to that kind of a play, even if you went back to last year, and if Blake were able to do that, there's a good chance with as many moving parts and new faces that not everyone was going to be on the same page anyway, right? So, I mean, you could have had a situation where you came back and you've got a whole bunch, you know, you're playing five or six rookies on there that maybe he did the same thing. He'd hold some safeties and come back and the timing would be
off.
Or the receiver would be running the wrong route or making the wrong read or what have you.
And, you know, let me also kind of mention something here. You know, the offensive line is playing better. the quarterback is playing better. But I think the root of improvement really lies in what Gus Bradley did in the offseason, and that's change offensive coordinators. I mean, I can't say enough about, and I'm not trying to say that Greg Olsen is the greatest coach in the National Football League, but it's a matter of consistency and a core belief in what you're doing. You know, from talking to numerous guys last year, and you could see, I don't even have to talk to guys. You would have an opponent that they're getting ready to face the week before. Let's say you go back to the Colts game last year. Remember the week before they were getting ready to play the Colts? The Colts had played New England, and New England had that running back that came out of nowhere. What was his name?
Jonas Gray. Yeah.
Jonas Gray. Jonas Gray ran for what? Nearly 200 yards against the Indianapolis Colts.
I think he did.
Running a power play. Did the Jaguars have a power play in their offense at all prior to that game?
Didn't see many.
No, they ran the zone. What did they run against Indianapolis? They ran a power play. Hey, look, I'm not against, you know, because in the NFL, you attack a weakness, and until the opponent can prove that they can stop it. But you can't attack a weakness with something that you haven't run before. You know, and that's what they were doing last year. You know, against the San Francisco 49ers. Remember the sneak the guy on the field late and throw it to him, and
yes.
He gets down the field. What do the Jaguars run like the next week or the 2 weeks later at home? I mean, that's not the way you win.
Right.
You know, on offense, you have to have a core belief to where the offense practice, it's a precision side of the football. You have to run plays that you run. You can't add plays in mid-stride and say, here's what we're going to run today. And I think that just the change of philosophy and the change with Greg Olsen has helped immensely, and it will allow a young quarterback and a developing offense to be that much better.
Going back to the quarterback for a moment here, after the game, I know you spoke with Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, and this was interesting.
What was his impression?
I mean, look, I wasn't going in to talk to Tom about football. I was going in just to talk with Tom. I mean, you know, my old coach, catch up, see how his family's doing. You know, asked him how Chris was doing, Chris Snee, you know, his son-in-law just retired, see if what he was up to. And, you know, we always do that. You know, whenever he's in town or we're up there at his place, just to catch up. And it was great talking with him. He looks great. And I've got a lot of respect for Tom Coughlin. And unsolicited, he said, boy, he said, you guys got a quarterback. Unsolicited. You know what I mean? So people are noticing, and people that know a lot more
Tom might have been a little jealous after Saturday night, by the way.
But I thought that was interesting because it was something that he brought up that I didn't. You know, and we talk football sometimes, and you know, we talked about the safety injuries that they're having, and then the game a little bit. But you know, for him to bring up, you know, the quarterback and Blake Bortles, and I think that speaks volumes for Blake Bortles. You have a coach that has been around the National Football League for what, 20 years now, 20 years at the head coach as a head coach in the National Football League. Extremely successful, two Super Bowl champions, and for him to say, you know, that he was impressed with Blake Bortles, that's saying something.
641-1010, the number. Let's get back to the phone lines, and another Eric on board here with us on Jaguars today. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I'm good. I just wanted to talk about receiving core just a little bit. What you guys were talking about earlier. What you guys think? You believe? Kenan Doss going to get some more playing time because I think he had a pretty good training camp. And tell me what you think about that guy named Neil, the big kid, Neil that we got in the
Neil Sterling.
Round. Yeah, you think he's doing pretty good?
All right,
Eric.
Appreciate the call, Eric. Let me start with Kenan Doss. I think he's kind of on that bubble. You know, if you're looking for a fifth special teamer that's going to be active on game day, that's going to give you the most production on special teams, and when I say special teams, I'm talking again, going back to a core four guy. And that's a kickoff return, punt return. Tandon Doss probably gives you the most value. But the issue is that you don't know about Marquise Lee. So that may make you change your thought process for that fifth wide receiver position on game day.
Look more for a receiver.
You don't know if he's going to be healthy. So that may change the factor. So I agree that Tandon Doss has had a pretty solid preseason. He definitely gives you the most as far as special teams value, and also he was a heck of a punt returner a couple years ago. Now, the young wide receiver from Monmouth, Neil Sterling. I think that practice squad is where he needs to be. I think he needs to make a position switch. I think he needs to go to tight end. I think he needs to watch everything that Julius Thomas and Clay Harbor does, because I think that is where he's going to end up making a career out of it. I don't think that he has the ability to be a big-time wide receiver. I think he has the ability to be a special move tight end. And then there's a big difference now. You're not looking for guys that can just be guys. You
sure.
can find guys all the time. Neil Sterling, that wide receiver, would be a guy. He would be a guy that would be in Tan and Doss category for the rest of his career. Okay, yeah, he's got the ability to play special teams. As a wide receiver, you know, he's okay. But you got to find guys that where they fit to where they add value. And I think Neil Sterling's value is going to be at tight end in the future.
You talk about the value of Doss being what he can add for your team from a special teams perspective. And because of the questions that Marquise Lee, whether he's available for you or not, brings up for you as far as wanting to have more of a receiving option as that fourth, fifth wide receiver on your depth chart, who would that be? Based on what we've seen with this team right now, you know who those top four are, because Rashad Green, probably the fourth of those four. Who would be the fifth if it's not Doss?
And see, I think that's where you go back to the conversation about Tony Washington and Brian Walters.
Okay.
And what are you looking for? Are you looking for a guy that can maybe stretch the field a little bit more? Well, that's Nate Washington. Are you looking for a guy that's going to catch pretty much everything thrown his way and just much like we saw against the Giants is going to be able to get whacked and still hold on to the ball? Well, that's Brian Walters. You know, so it's what are you looking for? You know, so it's interesting and, I don't know if you could make a bad decision there, and that's why I say you're not just looking here. I think you're also looking elsewhere to see what happens.
641-1010, the number. Let's go to Steve up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey.
Uh-oh. You did it. We didn't do it to you. All right, try calling back. We'll get you back on board. We'll go to our next caller. Chad, you're next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
Not much. Just excited Jaguar fan, ready for the season to start, and just real excited about the running game and the offensive line and all the progress they've made and, you know, Bortles as well. But I just really think Toby Gerhart is going to run with a physical presence this year, and it's really going to help out our defense as well as, you know, the offense, and hopefully – yeah, get Bortles some pretty wide open receivers with play action.
I agree with you, Chad. I think what he has been able to do, Toby Gerhart, this year in preseason is what you were expecting to get last year. I know that an oblique injury was mentioned yesterday and that he was held out of some things. You know, I still love what he's doing. You know, when they brought him here and said, okay, he's going to be our feature back and we're going to run the zone play, I went, oh, my gosh, really? I mean, talk about a square peg in a round hole. Doesn't fit. You know, Toby Gerhart's downhill. He's a gap running back. And so the fit wasn't good. But I'm glad they still got him, and you had a year in which you felt like you were disappointed, and now you've got a system that's going to fit his strengths. Because watching Toby Gerhart run in anywhere, whether it be the screen game, the power game, the short yardage game, he looks like he is a good football player. Whereas last year you went, eh.
Right now you feel really good on those third and one packages with Alo-Alo.
Did you see the play that I highlighted on Jaguars All-Access last night with Parnell?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about crushing a guy.
Laying guys out.
I mean, crushing a guy. I mean, literally picking him up and body slam him on his back at the NFL level, that just doesn't happen much. You know, so, I mean, you get excited about that. I mean, third and two, okay, let's bring in our short yardage offense. What? Third and two? Bringing in a fullback, Tyson Alo-Alo, and we're going to run it for 2 yards, and we feel good about it?
Feel confident that you're going to convert those.
Love it.
We got Steve back on the line. Steve, go ahead, man.
Hey guys. Not sure what happened there. So, basically, I was going to talk about the receiver and quarterback. Alan Hearns, do you think he's regressing or progressing? I think he's regressing. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on there. And then, as far as kind of an open-ended question about quarterback, would you take, if you had to do it all over again, Mariota, who's playing really good, Winston, or Bortles? Thanks.
Well, to start with Allen Hurns, has he regressed? I don't think he's regressed. I think he's actually gotten better in a lot of the nuances of playing the position. The one thing I was going to show, and at some point when we get to the regular season on Jaguars.com, we'll do Film Room Friday. I had a play that showed Allen Hurns blocking as a wide receiver that was, worthy of showing all the time. I mean, it was good stuff that he was doing. So Allen Hurns is getting better, not just as a blocker, but also as a route runner. How many times have we seen Allen Hurns open this year and get separation on the deep ball? I mean, real separation.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's – compare him to last year at this point when we were still kind of like, maybe he's got a chance.
Right.
Well, this year you're seeing him open. Now he's just got to complete the play. You know, so you feel good about him, and I think that he's going to be fine. What was the other question?
Quarterbacks, Winston, Mariota, Bortles.
For me, I have not seen much of Winston and Mariota except for the college film. So I kind of say this based on watching college film and having watched Bortles firsthand a lot. I'd take Bortles. I think Jameis Winston, I said this prior to the draft, for me, he would have been undraftable. With the issues that he had at Florida State, they would have concerned me enough to where I would not have taken him.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Before we get into that, some news from the highways. I-95, all lanes blocked southbound at Union Street, apparently due to an overturned tractor trailer. So,
yeah.
Be on the lookout for that.
I'm not sure what they spilled, but they spilled something.
Is there a difference between a tractor trailer and a semi? Same thing?
Sounds like the same thing to me.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing. That's
Have
why
you ever seen one of those things turn over? I was actually, like last year, I was on my way here for a show, and I was getting onto the interstate there at Old St. Augustine Road, and as I was coming on from the ramp behind me, I watched a semi slide sideways and then roll. It was like a quarter mile behind me. It was
too fast on the turn?
Because
that's a pretty good loop-to-loop.
It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Blocking all lanes of traffic while it was sliding sideways. It was insane. I felt like I was in a movie theater. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Mad Max, there is.
A little bit. The
newest Mad Max with Fat Tony. This date in football, 1960, the AFL began placing players' names on the back of their jersey. See, it's all their fault. The me generation all came out of that. Born in the state in 1965, Cornelius Bennett, longtime NFL linebacker, five-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, turns 50 today.
Biscuit
Bennett, right? There you go. Dave Thomas, former Jaguar cornerback, who started 35 games in 5 seasons with the Jacksonville Jaguars and also, of course, played with the Dallas Cowboys and New York Giants to bookend his career.
Two things I remember about Dave. One was the greatest hit on Jerry Rice I've ever seen in the preseason, where he literally had him horizontal in the air, blew him up, and Jerry Rice, of course, like, how could you hit me like that in the preseason? And the other one, when we had his leg broke at Cincinnati when he was on the hands team of onside kick, and his leg got broken. You could hear it in the entire stadium.
One other one, born in this state in football history. 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first-team All-Pro, Hall of Fame finalist each of the last 2 years, Marvin Harrison, and in some circles, suspected bad guy as well. Just Google him, all right? So there you have it. This date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. License number CCC056-7974. Your home for your business repairs, re-roofs. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing presents This Date in Football History.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, the he said, he said between Philly and Baltimore is continuing. The NFL came out yesterday afternoon and said that the Terrell Suggs hit on Sam Bradford Saturday should not have been a penalty. Chip Kelly addressed the media yesterday about the play, saying, quote, "It was just a handoff. Not every shotgun run is a zone read play. We didn't run any zone reads. We don't run as much zone read as everyone thinks we do. I thought the interpretation on the field was correct." NFL head of officiating Dean Blandino went on NFL Network yesterday to talk about the play, saying, quote, "If the quarterback has an option, he's considered a runner until he clearly doesn't have the football or he reestablishes himself as a passer, so it's not a foul by rule." Meanwhile, Ravens head coach John Harbaugh is coming to the defense of Terrell Suggs, who is being labeled by some as a dirty player for the hit. As feared, Green Bay Packers wide receiver Jordy Nelson will miss the entire 2015 season. Team is still not confirming exactly what the injury is, but has confirmed that it is significant enough that he will miss the year. Michael Vick visiting with the Pittsburgh Steelers, an injury to Bruce Gradkowski. Bruce Gradkowski. Injured his hand on a fumble when he was going in to recover it after missing the first couple weeks of the preseason anyway. So the Steelers looking elsewhere for some quarterback competition for Landry Jones. Last night wrapped up preseason week two action. Jameis Winston was not quite as good as Andy Dalton was bad. That's because Dalton was absolutely miserable, while Winston was just good. Dalton threw picks on back-to-back drives, the first coming on a pass that hit A.J. Green in the hands. It resulted in a pick six for Alteron Verner. He finished 6 of 13 for 46 yards with those two picks in the first half. The number one overall pick, Jameis Winston, 8 for 13 for 90 yards. He rushed for a touchdown for the second week in a row. Winston left the game earlier than expected. He was supposed to play the entire first half, but had his ankle rolled up about midway through the second quarter. He is expected to be fine and probably would have stayed in the game if it would have been one that matters.
Yeah, Mike Evans left with a hamstring tweak as well. Hasn't had a catch in the first couple of weeks. Lovie Smith said it's not a big deal. So I would suspect, though, any kind of hamstring twinge, you're probably not going to see him in week three. And
probably not.
No surprise for the Bengals, it was a primetime game on national television. They don't perform well in those, as evidenced by, once again,
man, Dalton was last miserable night. Last night.
Yeah, yeah, not very good.
A lot of questions still about him. A lot of questions.
Absolutely.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. I mean, look, he has gotten him to a certain level of consistency, and we talk about it all the time. Mike Smith, you know, took the Atlanta Falcons to unrealized heights of excellence before in their franchise's history. But after you do it so many times, they expect you to continue on and get to the promised land eventually.
Yeah, well, when you talk about quarterbacks like Matt Ryan and Opie, I mean, there's two things about them that I kind of say that they are. And that's, they are what they are, but then when they get to crunch time of a big game, they don't elevate. You know, and Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan, they can't find that extra gear. The great ones find an extra gear. Peyton Manning, great. I mean, unbelievable player when he got to the playoffs. He hasn't been as good as he has been in the regular season.
Right.
Flacco is good at that, as we've seen in a long time.
No question. And that's one reason, and I said this last year about Blake Bortles, is that's one thing. Look, and I know last year was a tough year for him, and it's a learning year. But when it came crunch time, two-minute situation, end of the half needing to score, he just seems to have that ability to raise his level of play. And when you can find somebody that can do that, it makes you feel like you got a chance.
Texter sending in this one, would you have liked to have seen Blake participate in the two-minute offense at the end of the first half?
Yes.
Right. Now, would you have left him in even though they hit their play quota pretty early?
I would have, but I also understand them not doing that, of trying to get, you know, equal reps with everybody to get the evaluation, because in preseason that's what it is. It's evaluation. You know, but I think this week's game, I think play count goes out the window to some extent.
Yeah. You'll see it this week.
In the third quarter.
And that may have been some of the idea last week, too, is we know we're probably going to play him through the entire first half next week, so we'll see a two-minute drill from Blake Bortles in the preseason.
6-4-1-10-10. Let's go to Jim next up on Jaguars Today. Jim, you're on with Jeff Logman. Go ahead, man.
Good morning, guys. Jeff, I'm glad you're in there, and Mike said he's going to sit back and relax, because yesterday with the Chris Carter talk, I thought he was going to have an aneurysm yesterday.
That was like a 5 on the Dempsey scale. Are you kidding me?
I hope you were very critical of Chris Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
He was. Oh, yeah. He was. But anyway, just real quick, in watching our defensive backs, I know in Seattle they love to do it and everything else, but they had a Richard Sherman, which was a surprising late draft pick who has done really well, obviously. Is this team going to be a bump and run? I know it looks like they're trying to be a bump and run team, but, you know, these guys don't seem to be able to do that. So I just get your opinion whether you think they're going to try to be that or they can't be that. And the other question, one other comment was, all I can say after seeing Josh Evans out of position so much in the last season, it was nice to actually see Sergio Brown within about 2 yards of Odell Beckham Jr. when he got behind the quarterback the other day. So it was nice to actually see a safety nearby. So anyway, you guys have a good day, man.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, and, you know, some good comments there. I'll start with Sergio. I thought that he definitely brought his level of play up this past week against the Giants. You know, I still think that the other kid, James Sample, the fourth round pick from Louisville, is going to be the guy.
Eventually.
Now, I don't know when that's going to happen, you know, and you hope that James Sample's form is going to be healed all the way and it's not going to give him any problems going forward. But I said it after the draft. That's your starting free safety, and I'm sticking with that. I just watching him in college and watching him play so far, what little we did see in the offseason, et cetera, I like the way he plays. He's an excellent open field tackler. He's got ball skills, and those are all big factors. Now, is he the perfect free safety? No. But is he the best you got? Probably. Yeah. You know, so excited to watch him, and hopefully he does play this week. And I know they're kind of expecting him to.
Right.
And
Clemens as well, and of course Yeldon.
And Clemens, you know, I don't care about seeing Clemens. I mean, I know Clemens' 12th year, he's going to be ready to play. I'm not worried about him. But James Sample's a guy that needs reps. It's not an overly complex defense. I think that he's going to be fine eventually. Now, are they a bump and run type defense? That's what they are. You know, they leave corners out on an island. They put safeties in the box. They find a way to get pressure on the quarterback. And that's the style that they have to play. Can they do it? I think Devon House had a much better game last week against the Giants than he did the week before against the Steelers. I thought he was much improved. The guy that I told you out of the gate that I'm excited about is Aaron Colvin. That guy can play like glue.
Yeah, you came in, I said, who looked good? Just out of anybody who stood out to you on tape, he was the first guy you mentioned. So we'll talk more about that as we go along. Take more of your calls as well, if you're so inclined, at 641-1010. We'll hear a little bit from Gus Bradley coming up as well as he addressed the media yesterday. Jeff Loggins here. Fat Tony's here. I'm Mike Dempsey. Tuesday's brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. We'll get back to the phone lines and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line straight ahead on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more with Jeff Lagerman, brought to you by Roland Reich Plumbing on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Can't get enough of the professor on a Tuesday at Logs56 on Twitter, L-O-G-S. Just because it's, you know, the way people spell
Logs. Last name is spelled L-A.
I know. That's why I pointed out to people. Yeah. People who know you might go, well, I went to Logs56. And it didn't work. I couldn't find you. That's because it's L-O-G-S 56 on Twitter. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you as well. Your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day asks you on Twitter and Facebook, and if you want to call in with your response, you can. Who is the most valuable backup on offense and defense, excluding the quarterback position, if you're of the mind that the quarterback is always the most important, therefore the backup quarterback is probably the most important backup? Who do you feel right now is the most important backup on each side of the football, offense and defense? 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. And Bryant has been on hold, so let's welcome him to Jaguars Today. Good morning, Bryant. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm Mike and Jeff.
We're good. And Tony, what's up?
And Tony. Can't forget him. I wanted to discuss the impact of the loss of Julius Thomas and see what y'all's thoughts were regarding the chemistry between the two, as well as when he's supposed to return. And also, what does this team need to do to get these receivers to catch the football? Because Bortles is throwing it right to them. They're just flat out not catching. I mean, how many drops did Hearns have this week?
I think Gus said six drops overall they counted for the team.
Yeah, for the team.
Yeah.
You know,
Allen Robinson probably had two of them.
Got to catch the ball. I mean, pretty simple. I mean, will it get better in the preseason? You hope so. I think that's why you're going back to this veteran, you know, presence at that position conversation, is that they tried to do it in the offseason. I mean, they tried to get Randall Cobb. I mean, they offered Randall Cobb way more money than what the Green Bay Packers gave.
You think Green Bay's happy that they finally upped their offer right about now after Jordy went out?
Yeah, they didn't offer more than the Jaguars.
Right, but they weren't going to offer as much, I think, as they eventually did until they saw how strong the interest was.
So, I mean, that's why you tried to go and get a guy. You wanted to have one more proven guy at that position. And I, like I said, I'm going to go back and say it again. They're still going to look. You know, that process is not over. And if it doesn't happen, you know, because the likelihood of them finding an accomplished veteran at cut time is probably not great, but their eyes will be open. That in the off season, I would say that will be priority number one, by far. That'll be the number one position they're looking at.
not to go all, you know, hindsight's perfect. For all the people out there who are Amari Cooper advocates in the draft.
Love that guy.
And you see him performing very well right now. You think there's any moment Dave Caldwell allows himself to think, what if? Because obviously, look, I think based on what we've seen, they haven't got a lot of push up front. They felt like pass rush was a priority. And it's just a fluke what happened to Dante Fowler, you know, much like Kelvin Benjamin, right? I mean, you could have been Amari Cooper, could have been what happened with Kelvin Benjamin. You don't wish out on him, but it could have happened to anybody.
I know a lot of people really like Leonard Williams. And I, for me, I thought that was projecting because you didn't see what you wanted to see in college. You know, everybody was looking at the height, weight. I mean, he did make some athletic plays, and he was a dominant player. But you never saw him put his hand in the ground and get up the field and rush the passer.
Did it pretty well this week.
And I'm sure he's doing it well now. Yeah. But it was kind of a projection. But Amari Cooper and Dante Fowler, I thought, were hands down the two best players in the draft. And you couldn't go wrong with either one. I think long term, you know, provided that Dante Fowler comes back from this ACL fine, I think it's going to be the best decision for this team because right now you need guys that can rush the pass.
And you can find wide receivers, right? I mean, much more so than you can find
game-changing pass rushers. To find wide receivers than pass rushers.
Now, to Bryant's initial point about Julius Thomas and chemistry, I mean, you know, look, it is what it is.
Here's the best thing. You know, he's got a cast on, he's got a red jersey, and he's practicing.
He's running routes.
Yes. So that's a good thing. You know, so if it was a situation where, okay, it required surgery, he's going to be have, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, period of inactivity, and he can't practice, then I would have much greater concern. But Julius Thomas is a veteran guy. He's been around the block a little bit. He's proven himself in games, and at least he can stay physically active. That's a positive. I'm not that concerned, although it does not help.
The hope is, obviously, that Julius Thomas and T.J. Yeldon are going to give him a big boost in the red zone, right? Because you had 10-play, 10-play, 12-play drives to open up the game, and you bog down and settle for field goals. How dramatic do you think their impact could be?
Well, you put Julius Thomas in the middle of the field, and who do you think a defensive coordinator is going to double?
You would think Julius Thomas.
The guy that's had 24 touchdowns in 2 years, I mean, all day long, and so that's going to give great opportunities to Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, if he ever comes back and plays.
Mercedes Lewis.
Mercedes is going to have plenty of opportunities. Clay Harbor is going to have a lot of opportunities. I mean, they will be. I'm sure that they've got two tight end sets to where you have Julius and Clay Harbor, not necessarily Julius and Mercedes. So, I mean, it's good players make other players better, and Julius Thomas is a good player.
This is what Blake Bortles had to say. He was asked this very question last week about the chemistry issue with Julius Thomas being out. Here was Blake's response.
I think it's hard. You know, he's like, we'll go throw routes to the tight ends, and he'll run the routes. Nobody will throw him a ball, but he'll run the routes, which is good for him. He's staying in shape. He's working on his route running ability. So I think that's good, and it's kind of it's difficult when you're not able to throw a ball and kind of feel, you know, the spots he's in and where you need to throw it. You know, but I think as soon as he's able to catch a ball, we'll get back to it and try to pick up where we left off.
There's really nothing more they could be doing than what they're doing. They're trying to do their best to simulate the positions he's going to be in without Blake, you know, taking his finger off.
Here's the crazy thing. If you allowed him to catch the ball in practice, you know, he's got, you know, the one hand is all protected, casted, whatever. I guarantee he could catch probably just as good as anybody with one hand. I mean, that's how good his hands are. I mean, watching him, you know, before and after practice, they do this thing where they're basically playing catch. Sometimes it's on the jugs machine. Sometimes it's Frank Selfo, who's the senior offensive assistant, throwing balls to Julius and Mercedes. Julius Thomas can catch a football way better with one hand than I could have ever imagined doing with two hands. I mean, he's that talented with his hands.
Now we see Odell Beckham Jr. warming up before every game like that, right?
Yeah.
It's honestly pretty absurd what he does, I think, with some of that stuff. And I know they say a lot of guys have great hands, but he just plucks it seemingly effortlessly with that big paw. Let's hear a couple of cuts from Gus while we have a moment and a little bit of a lull on the phone line. Still time for you to get in at 641-1010 here on Jaguars Today. Here was Gus just opening up about a number of issues yesterday as he met with the media.
We started this off this week, the third game, and we're treating it as much like a game week, regular season game week, as possible.
although some of the rules were still in training camp. But as far as the meetings, coaches with the responsibilities for the week, so on and so forth, as much as we can, we want to try to replicate it, and that's what we're doing. Today it was competition Wednesday and Monday, which meant that we're in full pads. Usually a day after, you know, we'd go out in no pads, but again, we want to try to get as much like a regular season week. We have made a decision at the center spot. We brought them both in, and we talked to Wiz is going to be our starting center. So Bowenko had a good meeting with him, shared the information with him. You could see him playing some tackle, getting some reps at tackle at least. Feel very strongly about the competition that took place, and we thought they both really did well in it. Not so sure if Bo isn't our sixth guy and could play at any one of the positions, so that's why we're training him at tackle as well.
Certainly, he's talking up Bowenko, and you know, with good reason. You really like him as a player. You're not buying the tackle aspect of it as much, although, as you pointed out earlier, get him a few reps in case of emergency, break the glass,
dire
and throw
emergency.
Him out there. Right?
Dire emergency. You really don't have a sixth guy. You know, I mean, it's not basketball, okay? It's football. You never go into a game with less than seven active offensive linemen. So you never really have a sixth guy.
Who would just plug in anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
You have two guys.
Although it does seem Bowenko will be, as Tony mentioned earlier, left guard to right guard, that's his area.
Guy. Left tackle, right tackle.
Somebody else.
That's Josh Wells, and that's why the injury to him is significant. Because he is your sixth guy if there's an injury at tackle. Now, if there's an injury at center or guards, then Bowenko is your sixth guy. But here's the thing. If Bowenko can't go, you got a guy by the name of Tyler Shatley you feel pretty good about. And you would feel confident that, hey, he can play. With Josh Wells, now who do you feel confident about playing left tackle? And I say left tackle because right tackle, you'd feel good about Josh Wells playing right tackle. You'd feel good about Sam Young playing right tackle. You'd feel okay about Austin Pasdor playing right tackle. But left tackle is different. Very different. And that's why I say that, to me, Josh Wells, besides the quarterback position, is probably the most valuable backup that you have right now on game day.
And if he, you know, dislocated thumb, that's an issue he said he's never dealt with before. It's something that could certainly reoccur. You know, we've seen dislocations.
Well, usually when you have a dislocation, and I'm not a doctor, but I've had dislocated thumbs, is you have some type of fracture. Where when that thing goes out, it pulls a little chip of bone off with it. So something certainly to watch. An offensive lineman needs his hands to block. Can they cast it up and he still play? Yes, but when you cast up the thumb, here's the thing. Your wrist is immobile. Your thumb is immobile. And so what takes the brunt of everything at that point? Now it's your fingers. And so having worn cast before, playing with a cast that immobilizes your wrist and your thumb, now it makes your fingers that are sticking out of that cast more susceptible to injury. It's not a fun situation to be in.
Gus Bradley, speaking after practice yesterday, was also asked about the rash of injuries they've had here in the first couple weeks of the preseason and if that impacts their thinking with first cuts coming up at all.
I think you look at and see the length of the injury, you know, and who's going to be available. So, you know, if we feel like we can get them back, you know, in time for the first game, then I don't think we'll play too much into it, although, you know, it opens the door for somebody else. But I think when it really hampers you or you have to make some hard decisions is when the injury is long-lasting, you know, when they're out 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, or 3 months, you know, then it's really made for you.
All right, more from Gus Bradley speaking on injuries and was asked whether injuries to key players, and I'm assuming not only guys that have gotten hurt on this team, but you see some major injuries around the league. Does that make a head coach more cautious in how he divvies up playing time in the preseason?
Yeah, God, I know it appears to be cautious. I don't like using that word with our players or with our staff, but I think you know, through the off season, we kind of have a set way we want to do things, and we're following through with that. I think there's little adjustments that are taking place, but overall, knock on wood, you know, we've been pretty healthy as far as soft tissue injuries. I know this last week we got banged up a little bit, but you know, the number of hamstrings and groin pulls and things like that have been down more so than, you know, all the time that Dave and I have been here. So we're just staying true to our plan. And we came in with a certain mindset to try to keep as many guys healthy as possible, so especially for our offensive side, so they could get multiple reps. And you know, I think it's working out for us.
Do they have a good balance in that? You don't want to be overly cautious. You got to get these guys reps, but at the same time, we know in a couple more weeks, none of what really transpired is going to mean all that much.
I think they got a good balance. I mean, I think a lot of times the coaches of today and the schedules of today are so much more mild compared to the way they used to be, you know, that how can you be any more cautious or careful? You can't. I mean, it's football. People get hurt, and then you have to be able to recover and move on. So I don't think there's anything differently that this team can do. The one person, though, that I did say at the beginning of the preseason, you'd like to put him in bubble wrap and say forget about playing him at all in the preseason, was Julius Thomas.
Right.
I think he has that level of importance to this football team. You know, but everybody else, I mean, they're in need of reps. The other guy that I would, you know, there's probably a couple other guys that I would put in that category. Poslesny does not need any reps in the preseason. Mercedes Lewis does not need reps in the preseason. You know, those guys are going to be fine. Chris Clemens, that's why a lot of people are making a big deal out of him, you know, being inactive until this past week. I don't worry about that. I mean, he's got enough reps. He's been around the block enough to know. Get him ready for the regular season, and then let's roll.
All right, we got loaded phone lines. If you hang in there, we will get to you when we return on the other side in a moment. Also, take a look at the fan feedback question of the day, asking you, as Jaguar fans, who do you think are the most key backups on this football team, one on offense, one on defense, at least among the guys projected not to open the season as starters, and exclude the quarterback in your conversation there. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Logs56, and at 1010XL Fat Tony Tuesdays. Brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now more with Jeff Lagerman. Brought to you by Roland Reich Plumbing on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Tyler's getting to know me, Tony. Now I know. Because he'll tell me something, I'm listening to him, having a conversation, and then we're done, and as we're about to come back, he goes, oh, by the way, and he says it again as if I didn't hear anything he said.
Yes.
Because I probably do that quite a bit, right? I tune people out, don't hear, I try to multitask.
You forget.
I do that all the time.
Son of age, you know.
It is. Oh, no question about it. Well, I mean, I have precious few brain cells that are operating right now, and all I'm here for is get them to you. On Tuesdays, let's just get the people to Jeff Logman, and he will take over. Got a lot of phone calls on the line, so let's get to about five more minutes of calls here before we get into the fan feedback question of the day. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, Fat Tony here with you. Tuesdays brought to you by Kenny Lane Associates, DivorceMenOnly.com. Jags on the field on Friday night against the Detroit Lions. We'll get Jeff's final thoughts on preseason week number three as well, but let's get Wayland up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Wayland.
How you doing, guys?
Good, what's up?
I'm excited about the game on Friday, man. I think that this year the linebacker core could be one of our brightest spots. And I was trying to figure out, I know J.T. Thomas left because he played against him this Saturday up in New York. Who would back up Poslesny? I think it's Thurston, his name is, and how is that looking as far as, like, the backup linebacker core?
You got it. He's talking about Thurston Armbrister or Jeremiah George.
Jeremiah George is the guy.
He had 9 tackles the other night, and as you guys were remarking a couple times, really bringing the lumber.
I mean, I said it at the beginning of the year. I mean, watching the way that he played the game last year, he's a quick twitch guy. He's a striker. He's got great short area movement. I mean, he's a perfect fit for middle linebacker. I thought they had a miscast at the beginning of training camp because they had him at the weak side position, but he's a thumper. Thumpers need to be in the middle. And now they've moved him back. This past game, they switch Armbrister to Otto. They put Jeremiah George at the mic. And I think that suits him perfectly. But at the same time, I also understand why they did that. They wanted to cross-train him, you know, because he's probably not going to be a starter. He's not going to beat out Poslesny. He's not going to beat out Telvin Smith or Dan Scoot at this point. So having him play multiple positions is good, but at some point you got to let him settle in where he belongs, much like my opinion about Jared Odrick, where he belongs without, you know, until you get
until
Derek
you get
Marks
back, that you should play inside.
I think you should play him at three technique.
So, how is Scooter look, by the way?
Okay. You know, and I said this after they signed him in free agency. He is what he is. He's a good football player. He's solid. He gets the most out of his physical abilities. Is he a wow guy? Is he a big-time playmaker? No. But but he's dependable and he's solid. And you did not have dependable and solid prior to having Dan Scuda, unless you made the argument that JT Thomas could have been that guy. I like JT. I thought that they would try to sign him. And didn't work out. Congratulations to JT. Got 3 years, $12 million to play for the Giants, and he's clearly playing well because he's played well for them the other night.
He played well for the Jags last year. You know, $4 million. I know it's starter money, but it doesn't seem like it's break-the-bank money, right?
No, it's not. It's not a ton of money. You know, and maybe you could have gotten him for a little bit cheaper than that. But look, I'm not mad at anybody for getting a free agency, and you know that's the beauty of it. Is that you go to free agency, you maximize your value, and you get to make a decision for you. And that's to go and play where you want to play, and that's what this country is all about. At least that's what it used to be all about.
Now it's about who knows what. I don't even want to get into what you think this country's about. Let's go to Jeff next up on the line. Jeff, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for Jeff. As a guy who has success rushing the passer in the NFL.
Mild success.
And you look at the team that we have now, and minus Clemens, and he should help, but you have a number of guys that, you know, that's their job, and they're not having success, obviously, and specifically a guy like Andre Branch, who is a big, strong, fast guy, but he can't do it. Like, you know, what gives? Is it his moves, or, you know, why can't he do it? Especially in the contract here, I don't understand, like, what's he missing?
He's missing somebody to create for him. You know, I've always believed that there are creators and that there are benefactors in pass rush. And Andre is a benefactor. What I mean by that is send Eric Marks or Chris Clemens or Ryan Davis moving the quarterback off of his spot to allow Andre to utilize his speed and effort. That's the type of pass rusher he is, speed and effort. Is he going to be able to wipe the spot out at 6.5 or 6.3 yards deep in the backfield? It's not what he is. You know, you have to have, with guys like him, creators. Send Eric Marks, if you've got send Eric Marks on the field, then Andre Branch becomes more valuable. If Jared Odrick is rushing the passer very well, then, and he's moving the quarterback off his spot, then I think that Andre Branch is fine. Now, Andre Branch is a unique study. And I think you're going to have a conversation at some point because he's in a contract year. You know, he looks the part. I mean, when he walks in the door, coaches that are looking at him in free agency go, man, does he look like a defensive end. When you watch the tape on him, he does some good things. He plays with effort. He plays with speed. Doesn't play with great knee bend. Plays high at times. His contact point is always up around the head and neck of the opponent. That's why you see hands to the face called against Andre Branch at times. He still is a work in progress, and it's going to be a tough debate. Do you keep a guy like that? I don't know. You know, it's interesting. What's it cost?
Right.
That's going to be the conversation. Yes, we'd like to keep him, but what's it going to cost? You know, I wanted to see more out of him. I mean, last week against Eric Flowers, first-round pick for the New York Giants, kind of expected to see more. The week before against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, they don't have a great left tackle. They have a good left tackle. I wanted to see a little bit more out of him, but he didn't play a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, limited number of snaps. This past week, he played a lot of snaps. Didn't do a lot of things. You know, that's the guy that I also put in the category of show me more. You know, show me more, prove me more. But the good thing about him in that position is that, look, if he's not giving it to you, you got Chris Clemens, you got Chris Smith, you've got options. But I wish you had the option of your first round pick.
And he could be really frustrating, right? Because if he goes away in free agency, he sounds like the type of guy that if he finds the right home, like say he winds up like in Buffalo, like he'd be a 10 sack guy because of the chaos that everyone else causes, and he just has opportunities to make plays, and without mm-hmm. Marks on the field, he's not going to show up here in Jacksonville.
I think his impact without somebody that's disrupting the pocket is not going to be as great. But his impact, if you get somebody to disrupt the pocket, get the quarterback on the move, and that's a positive. Now, I'm not trying to criticize Andre Branch. What I'm saying is that he provides great effort. He does have great speed. He can run people down. So he's got positives. But his positive or strength is not moving the quarterback out of the pocket and creating opportunities for others. He's kind of a cleanup guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cleanup guys need to have the guys that are causing the mess to begin with.
Sure.
All right, quickly, it's not a subject that you could probably give everything quickly, but Aldon Smith has been talked about a lot. Big Cat Country did an article advocating signing him. I don't think the Jags should touch Aldon Smith personally. That's my personal feeling on it.
I think what you do in that situation is you have a conversation with his agent. You know, you don't go and sign him right now. That's probably taboo from a league perspective, although that would be considered collusion, which doesn't happen. But I think you have a conversation with his agent and say, hey, look, we have interest in Aldon Smith, first and foremost, getting his life right. And when he gets his life right, we want to be able to be a part of the conversation. And I think you have that discussion now because there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to allow him time to get himself right. And then at that point, you want to make sure that the agent is, if they get a call and somebody says, hey, look, you know, we want to sign him to this, the agent calls you and says, hey, look, we got an offer here. You know, it's time to either poop or get off the pot. And it's a nice way of put it there.
Absolutely.
But you want to be in the conversation and making a phone call to his agent now just to say, hey, look, you know, we're interested. We want him to get well. Is there anything we can do to help that? You know, showing a little love and care and maybe get you something down the road.
All
because
right.
He's a tremendous player.
He is a tremendous player. He's got a laundry list of issues. And for me, they outweigh what he does on the
right
field.
Right now.
Yeah, right now. And it would take a lot to convince me that he's a changed guy because he's gone down that road and told us he's a changed guy in the past. Quickly, Tony, fan feedback spotlight today, please. Most valuable backup on offense and defense. Give us some of the feedback we got.
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar Berwenko on offense, Tyson on D. From Blake Bortles Facts, he said, when you have Blake Bortles, things like this are irrelevant. From Eric, O is that sixth lineman, which looks to be Berwenko now. D is Ryan Davis. Need him to stay healthy. From Cristiano, he said he'll go with the new groom, Irish Jaguar, Berwenko and Alualu. From Cam, Mercedes Lewis and Ryan Davis. From Joey, Berwenko on offense, Ryan Davis on D. Line play, both sides very important. Hashtag refuse to beg. Hashtag would have picked Henny. From Dusty Duval, Tyson plays a key backup role on defense and plays fullback. He makes our short run so much better. Hashtag both sides. From Demetrius, offense, D-Rob, he brings an element of elusiveness. Defense, Ryan Davis, he can play both Leo and 3-tech. From Ovaro, offense, Jason Myers. Defense, Cap Cappy. I would look really good in one of those T-shirts. From Black Dog Express, most precious to me is Berwenko, multifunctional and healthy, and he would make a great backup fullback. I don't know about most precious.
I don't know about that.
That wording's a little odd.
Loggy, what are you looking for out of the Jags on Friday night?
To me, this is a great test for the offense overall. Detroit's got a tremendous defense. The matchup of the day clearly is Ezekiel Lanza against Luke Jokel. Now, I don't know how many times that matchup will happen because Anza likes to rush from the defensive left side or the offensive right side, but I think we're going to see that matchup occasionally. And that one, if that matchup happens, if you see number 94 for the Detroit Lions lined up against number 76, put your binoculars on it and watch it because that's going to be a great test for Luke Jokel.
And same draft for those guys as well.
Yeah, and I liked Anza.
So did Tony. I was Tony's favorite guy in the whole draft.
Yep. He athletically did freaky things. And one of those talents that just doesn't come along very often. You know, so great matchup there. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about. It's the Detroit Lions defense against the Jaguars offense, and more particularly the battle up front and how that goes. That to me is five-star stuff.
Got the Gus Bradley show coming up on Thursday. What else am I missing before game day?
Before game day?
Yes.
And that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll catch you Friday with oodles of stuff, including right here on the Jaguar Radio Network. We'll hear you on the pregame game broadcast in the postgame locker room with Gus Bradley and players.
Yes. We'll now be on Jaguars.com pregame. I will be on that.
Okay. What time? Like, do you have a range? Like,
yeah, so it's 1 hour before kick, I believe. So I think it's 6:30, 6:30?
Roughly an hour before kicks.
Yeah, about 6:30.
And that's an ongoing thing,
yeah.
Right?
I will be on. Whenever we do Jaguars.com pregame show, I will be on this week.
All right, listen for Loggy, and of course, catch him every Tuesday right here on Jaguars Today at Logs56 on Twitter. For Jeff Loggeman, for Fat Tony, thanks again to all of our listeners out there. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. Kenny Lane Associates brings you the show, DivorceMenOnly.com, every Tuesday. We'll say hello to XL Primetime coming up in a moment. This does it for Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!